You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Podcast, show 136, Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. Opening weekend of the NFL season was this past week, with Monday night game going last week or last night with Oakland and Baltimore going to overtime. Lots of games, obviously, over the weekend. Some good storylines happened. Dave, I know you were tuned in, ears on, everything else throughout the weekend. I, on the other hand, was not. I was a little bit preoccupied with the end of the Major League Baseball season. So we'll talk about that in a second. But Dave, how was your Sunday NFL football? You said you're at Jasper's baseball game, but you still had the cans on, listening to the game anyways.
I didn't have the cans on. I had my hidden Bluetooth. But like what I did, because the Broncos game was on. And then so I had sat in the outfield in my lawn chair. Underneath a good tree, kept attention to the game, but I also was able to watch the entire Broncos Giants game. And streaming is such a wonderful thing. I watched it in high definition. It was perfect in my ears. Nobody else knew they knew I was watching something, and I was still able to take part in the game and get up off my chair when my son was up to bat. Or
You just hope that it's right along the lines. Let's just say that Jasper happened to strike out while he was at bat. At the same time, there was a Broncos touchdown, and you accidentally cheered at the wrong time, Dave. How would that go? How would that go over Kaylee?
It wouldn't, because I would be watching my son at bat. It would still be in my ears, so I knew what happened. But I've also trained myself how goofy this is, to know that when anything happens, they're going to show it again and again and again. So I got a good 40 seconds, and there's always the rewind button.
Good catch. Good catch. What if it's what if you live, like if you lived in Arizona and the kids are playing all year long, it's the Super Bowl?
We'll figure it out.
Anyway, Dave, I'm just having the old Bud Light tonight. Never fills you up, never lets you down. Just felt like keeping her easy tonight. What are you going with tonight?
I like snooping around. This one's brewed in Edmonton. It's called Loot Box Hops. It's pretty hoppy. It's a little more hoppy than I prefer, but where's the ABVs? Fuck. Can't find it. Nonetheless, it's a little hoppy, but it's a really nice beer. It's like a tidal wave of flavor.
Mouth. Wasn't that Bubblicious or Hubba Bubba or something? Didn't they have a tidal wave of flavor? No, what was that? But it was a gum, but you chewed into it, and then there was juice inside it. That was
Bubblicious. They had the flavor on the inside.
Yeah.
So that was
always a tidal wave of flavor.
Yeah. But the Hubba Bubba was a far better bubble gum.
But where the jaw? Maybe that's why we can talk so much. Maybe we chewed so much Hubba Bubba back then. Our gums never wore out.
Yeah, I was a bubble blower.
Our jaws.
I like blowing bubbles.
Anyway, let's get into the football season, how it started opening week one. A couple storylines. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers played a neutral site game with and Rodgers and his great big yap over the offseason. I think we talked about in the past. Feels disrespected, although they gave him $300 million. They went in, I think they played in Jacksonville. Jameis Winston gets himself LASIK surgery. He couldn't miss. 5 touchdowns. The New Orleans Saints dismantled the Green Bay Packers. Is that one on Rodgers? Or is his early season yips? Or what do you think, Dave?
Is he
doing something? Is there something nefarious going on?
No,
not, it's too coincidental to me.
Not whatsoever. It's just this. Let's just put this one. I don't think the Green Bay Packers are this bad, and I don't think New Orleans Saints are that good. When you say that, like Jameis Winston had a good day, he did. He threw for 5 touchdown passes. How many yards do you think he threw?
I read it looks like 183 or something like that.
150.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
Like, so that's just, you know, they, he threw those touchdown passes, but like they didn't win because of him. So I think he overperformed in like five touchdowns on 150 yards of passing. That doesn't happen.
But New Orleans picked him to be the guy to take over for Breeze. Like they said, they saw something in him. It's, I mean, I wouldn't pick Winston, obviously, but it turned out pretty good week one.
Well, he did. He did the Cam Newton, right? He played as a backup under Breeze. And even when Breeze was hurt, they went with that fullback.
Just the other guy, yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah. Jameis has all the physical tools. It's just a matter of the toolbox. Because when he was with...
I don't think it's even the toolbox. I think it's the thing is between the ears with him.
Well, that's the toolbox, no? Well,
yeah.
So nonetheless, like when he was at Tampa, he threw 30 touchdown passes, but he was Duke LaLouche, struck out 14 batters, new league record.
Yeah. He threw 9 interceptions, batters. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
New league record. It's all or nothing. And if he can grow up and learn, and like if LASIK was the thing, then he should be the poster boy for that.
A couple of years ago where he threw 28 interceptions or something ridiculous like that. It was crazy how many.
Oh, he literally threw 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns in the same year. Crazy. No one's ever going to do that. And he's just a maroon behind the mic.
Yeah, well. The Urban Meyer era in Jacksonville didn't start off so well. The Trevor Lawrence first game he's lost as a starter since Pop Warner football. Didn't lose one in high school, didn't lose one in college. Goes to his first NFL game and gets handed to him by the Texans, who weren't supposed to win a game this year. And they go out and win a game right off the bat. And they sent Herb to the showers with the loss.
That's a game that I think both those teams are bad. So when a bad team has a good day against a bad team, it's going to look worse than it is, right? They're just not top to bottom. They're not that talented, both these teams. And so to have two really shitty teams playing the first day, you never know what's going to happen.
But wouldn't you expect for for Herb to come out with a game plan to let Trevor Lawrence shine a little bit?
I don't think Herb knows how. He's never coached an NFL game in his life. Well, until yesterday.
So why did he go with these guys? College guys and college guys. Saban quit Alabama. He was in a couple of NFL spots. He goes, I'm going back to Alabama midseason. I'm out. I'm done. So why do they go to these guys, you think? Like, why do NFL owners, GMs, go to these college guys? Because college coaches are a lot different. They hold these kids' futures in their hands. Where the players are in the NFL, they hold the coach's future in their hands.
I think
intimidation factor is huge with college coaches.
Yeah, and they have the coach has so much power, playing time, and like at the end of the day, if you're not getting playing time, if I'm not showcasing your talent, you're not going to get drafted, and then never mind being off the team, I'll just bring you on the bench.
Yeah,
and then that's how you listen, and that's how you do it. At the pro level, but he doesn't have that sway. What I think happened is Jacksonville's owners wanted to sell season tickets.
That's quite possible. What was your big take of the weekend? Who's your way too early favorite? Here, another thing. Washington lost their quarterback. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks minimum.
That sexy motherfucker. Poor guy. I'm sorry, Fitzmagic.
Does Washington take a heater with Cam Newton? Cam Newton's better than 30 quarterbacks that are on rosters right now.
Right, but he's unvaccinated.
Well, we talked about that last week. I get it.
Like, you know, and that's a real thing.
No, it is.
In the NFL. Like, if you cost your team a start or whatever like that, you're on the hook yourself financially. And a team... That's a risk for a team to have, no matter how good the backup is.
No, we talked about that last week.
To screw up the quarterback issue. So, but yes, he is better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league.
Well, every team has three, right? At mm-hmm. least. So he's better than 30.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Washington football team swings a trade with Chicago and gets Big Dick Nick out of there or something like that.
Oh, Chicago's going to be there. They may,
they're
may
awful.
Not, they may not win a game. The producer, Deanne, her brother's a big, big, big Bears fan. And I was, I feel for the guy because he loves his Bears. He waits all year for football season. And then the Bears come out and they're just not good. And James is just, he knows. He has false hope because he's young. He's 30, which isn't young, but he has false hopes. And he cheers. He just, well, if there's a lot of well ifs in James football world that got to go right for things to happen. And they're just not good enough.
No, goodness, no. Like the one of their saving graces is they get to play Detroit twice, right? So,
was listening on the radio on the way home from work or the hotel from work today, and it would be tough to be a Detroit fan. They haven't won a playoff game since like 91 or 92. That's a long time ago, and they're terrible still.
The Lions are like one of those teams, right? It's like the, God, like pick your franchise, like the Texas Rangers or like.
No, the Rangers have been in the playoffs. Like they.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to find
the World Series few years back.
Never. Yeah. Just well, never.
Let's
they Jackson were, Jaguars.
If you were they're looking for this, someone to call in who be a legit. I can't remember what even podcast or radio show I was listening to. A Buffalo Sabres fan, a Baltimore Orioles fan, and a Detroit Lions fan all at once. Could you imagine if you lived in upstate New York somehow or wherever, and those were your three teams, could you imagine just the, not even heartache, but just despair?
Yeah. Well, same with Cleveland, right? Until LeBron did it.
Yeah. But they have that one in the recent past.
Yeah, but there's just a lot of nothing there.
How did
Minnesota fan.
Oh, yeah. Dave, how did the future Jeff Bezos-owned Denver Broncos, your team, how do you think they looked on week one? And how do you think they're going to keep going? They played the Giants, who aren't very good either. But what were your thoughts on the game?
I was super impressed with Teddy Bridgewater, which I've liked since he blew out his knee in Minnesota. He looked great. I liked how everything played out. I realized it was the Giants, but it was on the road. And I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic that. I'm not even going to say it out loud that like when I looked at this schedule for the first time, it was on air a couple of episodes ago. Yeah. I predicted a fairly lofty record.
12-4, I think.
I don't know if I said that or not, but
it was 12-4, it was pretty high. It was 12-4, 13-3. It was.
I remember being really excited about their prospects and I'm not dissuaded from that. How's that for a wishy-washy?
Hey, answer? It's better to be 1-0 than 0-1.
Got that right, mister.
No matter what.
That's like going 0-16 in Major League Baseball.
There you go. It's better to start off with a win because it you can't take a win away from you. The NFL season is in full. It's such a big machine, hey. Like, it is so massive in comparison to anything else. You asked me off air, Dave, why I didn't watch any NFL football this weekend. The reason's twofold. I was umpiring Canadian college baseball this weekend with Lethbridge and U of University of Calgary. But secondly, it's baseball season and the games mean a lot right now. There's games that happen in April that I watch in baseball, obviously, but the games mean a lot right now. Like the Jays are in the race right now. The Yankees are in a race right now. The NL, the wild card games mean a lot right now. And that's why, I don't know. Whereas the NFL week one, I don't care. Like, not one bit.
Baseball is your sport and I understand exactly what you're saying, but this is now one day of intense fucking coverage. Like, unless it really means, like, come October, then it really means something. And then that's when I'll even watch baseball over NFL, or I'll be at some place where I can keep an eye on two screens. But NFL is, it's 100% my favorite sport, and then second place is so far back in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it's just the games mean absolutely nothing. Like the last Monday night football game was Oakland and Baltimore. I couldn't name you five players, well, on any team, but neither team's going anywhere. They're not projected to be anywhere. And you had the Jays in Tampa playing last night, which is a playoff implication game.
Well, and here's what kind of NFL degenerate I am. Jasper had ball practice till 7:30, and then we got home, and then now we're having supper and stuff like that. And so now it's 8:30. I still haven't had a shower or watched this football game. So I watched it for a bit, and then I can fast forward again because I'm streaming. And then overtime, I went to overtime. I was like, Jesus. And now it's like 10:30 and I still haven't walked the dog. And then so I put it once again. I started streaming it and walked. So you get it. But I'm that with football. If that was a Yankee game.
I had it on and I knew it went to overtime. But I don't even know who won. I have no idea.
The Raiders do. Who I...
Something goofy happened in overtime or something. I don't know.
Goofy things like the Ravens should have won it. And so I'm in a couple pick 'em pulls. One's straight up and one's against the spread. I did way better against the spread than I did in pick 'em this week. And anyways, I won the week, even though Buddy, who I tied with, had Vegas. I picked Baltimore to cover, so I was quite pissed. And then I got back and then I looked it up and then I was still in first place. The first tiebreaker is the point prediction, not Monday night result.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I won week one in one football pool.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
$12.
So, no, it's more than that. It's next year's dues are free.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah.
Even better. You broke even. That's half the battle.
Exactly.
If you can break even in life, if throughout life you can break even, you're better than half, better than most.
That don't make any sense.
It does. A lot of people who don't break even in life, Dave. A lot.
No. Well, like that's just saying the bets you're making are wrong. I guess you're right. Like,
I'm not saying about bets. I'm saying just about life. I'm not talking about bets. There's a lot that don't break even. Anyways. I'll get into the football season as it progresses once baseball gets winding down here and everything else. But it's September baseball. That's it's a thing for me, and the playoff race are happening. We'll get into that next segment. 1420 Sports. Four Brewer Sports Talk and a whole lot more. 1420 Sports Podcast, Four Brewer Sports Talk and a whole lot more. Like I said earlier on, I was umpiring baseball this weekend, so I was a little bit busy to watch football, but Saturday night after the game was over, I got off the field, dusted off my shoes, put on my Saturday night best, went and had a pizza and a couple of beers. It was nice, great atmosphere. Ball game was on. The Toronto Blue Jays were getting no hit in the sixth inning of the doubleheader game. They were down, I don't know, 1-2-0, getting no hit in the sixth. And all of a sudden they erupted for, I think it was 11 runs. There was none out at one point. They scored 9. It was absolute insanity. The Jays just erupted, and then they erupted for 22 on Sunday afternoon. I haven't seen anything like that in a long time, where they scored that many runs in such a short period of time. It was something. Not all by Vladdy Guerrero, but boy, oh boy, that boy can hit, and he's putting on a clinic right now, and he's leading he's got 2 out of 3 triple crowns going out right now. He's got 45 home runs, hitting .318. He's only four RBIs behind whoever from Abreu from the White Sox. This kid, he's a kid. He could have been actually playing in the baseball as umpiring on Saturday afternoon. He could be a triple crown guy right away.
he's still on his entry level contract.
Yeah.
And Triple Crown, like, didn't Cabrera with the Tigers do it not too long ago? The last guy to do
it, it was like 2002, Dave. Like, it's been a while.
Oh, because Cabrera's still playing for the Tigers.
Well, he has one of those contracts where they kind of, like, he has to play because, like, dude, we're paying
The Albert Pujols.
Yeah, we're paying you a lot. We can't just buy you out or say, hey, retire. He's not getting the Bobby Bonilla treatment is what I'm saying.
Right, like it's like, yeah, we all knew this was probably going to be what you looked like the last year, but
2012. Sorry, it's looked up 2012. So 9 years.
9 years ago.
Not that long. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was a machine. Well, nonetheless, Vladimir Guerrero, like a triple crown, is such a. It's so hard to do.
Oh.
It's so hard to do. Like it's pretty rare. Then like. As far as MVP voting goes, like I understand why Ohtani is the odds-on favorite right now.
I don't.
Well, then I think you might agree with me when I say this. Like, a triple crown is so special that, like, Vladimir Guerrero cannot do his job any better. Ohtani can do both his jobs a little better. But just the simple fact that you're really, really good at two for a team that's out of the playoffs. Ohtani has no pressure. He's not going to have a big at bat or a pressure filled situation.
He's seeing some shitty pitching compared to what Guerrero's going to see.
You got that right. Where every game means something.
Yeah.
And like, I think if Vlad Guerrero ends up winning the Triple Crown and the Jays is a wild card team, he deserves it.
That's unquestionable.
I don't care what Ohtani does.
That's unquestionable. We'll go back to the Mike Trout thing year after year after year, him winning MVPs. Who's Mike Trout? He's great, right on. What your team didn't win. Your war is this, right on. Did your team advance because of you? No.
And you know what? And baseball is a sport where you can.
It's shitty that you need the rest of your team to boost your stats and your, we're looking for, it doesn't matter that you need the rest of your team to boost you in baseball, but you do. And Guerrero's doing something this year that has only been done by a handful of people. When you start getting in the likes of Mantle, Yastrzemski, those kind of guys, Ted Williams, those are triple crown guys. You get triple crown, you should win the MVP. I don't care if you can pitch and this and that. And enough with the Babe Ruth comparisons. Ruth didn't pitch for the Yankees. Like, I'm sick of these Ohtani, Babe Ruth law. It's not the same. It's different. It's completely different.
It's different because it's a different era. But when you do look at the record books, like Babe Ruth still has World Series pitching records because the Yankees were in it. And he was a good pitcher.
He never pitched for the Yankees.
You are lying. I will bet anything you want to lose.
He pitched in Boston.
I will take that. Here.
He pitched in Boston.
Fuck. You're wrong. I'm 100% wrong. I will look it up. I will pick one piece of that trash on your wall behind you. Maybe
I'm wrong.
I'll take that A-Rod, that signed A-Rod ball that you can't find. I'll sell that on the internet. I will bet anything you want to lose. World Series pitching stats. Are you looking it up?
I'm looking her up.
And just...
No, go ahead. Keep talking.
No. I can't believe you don't know this, man.
I wasn't alive back then, Dave.
Well, neither was I, but... That book I gave you haven't even fucking read it. I know right now because he would be in there.
There's a lot of times to read a book, Dave. I don't have time for that.
And you don't sit on the toilet anymore?
No, I don't have time for that, man.
Put it right beside the toilet. Busy guy.
Okay, I'm not like it's bad for you. We'll look it up to get in the next segment, but I have a hard time giving Ohtani the MVP or anybody the MVP. Compare it to hockey. With McDavid, if your team doesn't do fuck all, you shouldn't be an MVP. and I said this before, and you just disagreed with me then. Most outstanding player, sure. I'll give you that. You're the best player. How the CFL words it, the most outstanding player, I get it. But valuable, your team's got to do something, man.
No, you're completely, you're 100% right. Like it's there's no doubt. Here's just something I was actually searching where you were talking. In the 1918 World Series, Babe Ruth pitched 29 and one-third scoreless innings for the New York Yankees, a mark that stood until 1961 when Whitey Ford broke it.
In what year?
1918.
He was still in Boston.
No, he was.
I'm looking on Baseball Reference right now. I don't think he pitched for the Yankees.
He never won a World Series for Boston. There's no way, guy. I'm gonna go to Wiki. I added, like, just for the record, I added for the New York Yankees. You hit pause, stop the recording, and then we'll give us 2 minutes. Like, and then we're gonna start this right now. Hit pause. But like, okay, here we go.
Okay, we back on the air now.
And we're back.
We settled our little debate. Dave wasn't wrong, but he's wrong. Babe Ruth pitched 13 innings total in 1920, and that was it. Four non-consequential innings, and then 9 innings throughout that rest of that season that amounted to nothing. So I was wrong. I will admit it. As the Yankee fan on this show, I was wrong. Babe Ruth did pitch for the Yankees, but those innings amounted to a hill of shit. It didn't mean anything.
What I am going to say.
So that's why I'm saying the comparison with Ohtani and Ruth needs to stop.
Well, but he did it for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, what did they do?
Well, I don't know. He got World Series. He pitched 29 innings, scoreless innings for the Red Sox. I don't know what happened, but that wasn't about what our argument was.
That's right.
Which, yes, you were way more right than I was.
Well,
way more right.
Neither of us were batting 1,000 on a 1420 podcast on that one. Anyways,
You know what? That's nice. You know, like neither of us were wrong.
That's right.
Someone could be more right without the other person being wrong.
Anyways, so get back to this. Guerrero, if he gets the triple crown, is he has to be the MVP.
Yes. Unless Ohtani pitches a couple no hitters. And there's a young conversation about him, but there's not.
No.
Being really, really good at two things. And I don't know Ohtani's average and where he's sitting with RBIs. I don't know that.
I think he's 44 home runs. He's only hitting 240, 250.
Yeah. I mean,
it's still good, but.
No, it is good, but it's not triple crown. His pitching wouldn't stand alone, and his hitting would not stand alone. The fact that he's doing two really, really good.
Really well.
Is that better than most? Two things better than most, and or doing one thing that you're paid exclusively to do.
Like he's the most outstanding player right now.
Yeah, he's
because he's actually doing something that's never happened in this league. Never, ever, ever.
Especially at that age, right? Yes. Like just making a real run for a team that makes a difference with high expectations. Like he knows Vladdy knows pressure.
Yeah.
And
funny.
He's hard not to like too.
Since Vladdy's the same way, good personalities. It was funny, Dave, on Saturday morning, bright and early, got a message from a longtime listener, Brad, there. He was poking fun at me and you saying, because we apparently on show 100, we had written the Jays off. I can't remember what show it was, some anniversary show.
When we say we mean you, right?
You said they were screwed too.
Well, like I was asking you, like, because that's one thing I can never figure about baseball. When when people were writing them off, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't say that out loud because I didn't think they were four games out of a wild card with 25 games left.
Anyways, I said they were done and the Yankees were in, and Brad reminded me or told us or however he worded it that it couldn't be any more wrong than what we were that day and how the season can change that quickly. Quick note, baseball related, Ryan Braun called her a career today. To me, he, out of the steroid scandals back in 2011, Braun may be just as big of a piece of shit as A-Rod. Braun denied. Then
he tried to get his
UPS job fired because it tainting his piss tests and everything else. Like
that's how he got away with it.
Yeah.
Because he never challenged the results. He challenged the fact it was mishandled between his dick to the lab.
He was so adamant about, I didn't do it. And then finally, yeah, I did it. Like,
yeah. And then he owned up.
Braun's a piece of shit. Different show I was listening to today. Brad Lidge was talking about how he has a disdain for Ryan Braun because they played in the same division for quite some time. And Braun lit him up. And, you know, that could have been a lot of money out of Lidge's pocket that this guy basically, yeah, I cheated and everything else. And Lidge also said, with the A-Rod thing as well, like we could have won another World Series when he was with the Phillies, but the Yankees won it and A-Rod had a great World Series. And I get it. It's shitty, but Lidge also can talk out of both sides of his mouth because how many guys in his team were doing steroids back then too? Right. Well, so it's a pretty touchy to point fingers when guys on your team are also doing it. Cause a large percentage of guys were doing it.
So what Brad Lidge was essentially saying is like the only playoff games where I was brought in to close and blown that save, I gave out taters to steroid users.
Well, that's just what he's saying.
Yeah. Like Brad Lidge, I remember you getting lit up all the time. Wasn't he with Houston for a bit there too?
I think at some point, yeah.
And like that was with Jeff Kent and Roger Clemens, and they had Houston and the Killer Bees. Yeah. I like that Houston team.
Well, who likes Houston now? I mean, nobody.
Well, yeah, before they were cheating Astros.
Hey, if you're we'll end the baseball conversation here. Carlos Correa, shortstop for the Astros. If he's the Yankees are looking for a shortstop, or your team's looking for a shortstop, do you welcome a guy like Correa on your team?
Well, George Springer's
highly unlikable. Correa's highly unlikable.
He has a stigma and he's making a shit ton of money, but he's a really good player. He's so good. He's polarizing because he's so goddamn good. As to baseball, another good friend of mine is a Yankee fan, but he hates the Blue Jays. He's like an Oiler Flame guy. Like, if you like the Yankees, you must hate the Blue Jays, and he hates them with a passion. Do you?
No, I quite, like, if the
Yankees... You're enjoying the Blue Jays' success.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. When the Jays are doing good, more Canadians are interested in baseball, and they watch it more, and we have more conversation about baseball. Like, you go to a place for beer after work or whatever, people watching the game, they're interested. It's hard to hate a team that's shitty most of the time. Like, no one hates shitty teams.
Right. Like, it's well, the love
of the teams are always shitty, but like, it's hard to hate shitty teams. Like, nobody hates the name a team, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Like, nobody feel bad for them, the Buffalo Sabres.
Nobody hates the Sabres. They're just like, no, there's a Saber.
They feel bad for them.
You're like, yeah, no one hates them. No, I don't hate the Jays.
And
Red Sox. I hate the Astros.
Which, because that's the Yankees' natural rival.
Yeah. Right. The Astros are more of a rival now than the Red Sox are.
Well, because you've decided to make it that.
No, because...
The Astros. Like, series is not a rivalry.
I think with
Boston...
The Red Sox, it's
been forever.
Once they won a few World Series. Now, it used to be like, the Red Sox can't win a World Series. Now, they won three. They won three since the Yankees have won one, right? So,
yeah,
can't really make fun of them anymore.
My other Yankee thing was that I wanted to touch base. I saw on the highlights Gary Sanchez against that Met coming home.
He forgot.
There was that thing. The runner was literally 12 feet from the plate.
Oh, at and least Sanchez,
and Sanchez was standing with ball and glove, and the guy slid.
I'm not going to bend over tag this guy.
Or even to take a step forward.
Oh, just.
I don't get when someone's that bad at catching. I don't care how good his stick is.
Human like, fecal matter. He's just that, terrible, man.
That is so fundamental. You get benched at the age of 14 for blocking the plate.
That was
hilarious. Did he expect him to just stand up softball, like slow pitch style?
Here, tag me.
Oh, did I laugh about that?
Just gross. 1420 podcast.
I would have laughed if he was a show. I would have laughed if he was a Diamondback, but I found that really quite funny.
It was really not good. Not good at all. Anyways, 1420 podcast for Beer with a Sports Talk and a whole lot more. 1420 podcast for Beer with a Sports Talk and a whole lot more. Something we started a long time ago, talk about it on a weekly basis, and like who is better, me or Dave, the split 50-50, I'm sure. But anyways, we give two names in the sports entertainment world, and then we just come up with pretty simple. Who is better? Dave, ready to go?
You bet. Always ready.
Shaquille O'Neal or Ed O'Neal? Ted Bundy.
That's quite
not
ironic.
Ted Bundy. Al Bundy.
I know exactly.
Not Ted Bundy. Sorry. Ted Bundy's like, not a good guy.
I was not a Married with Children fan. Like, I never watched that. Like, and but I've become a big fan of his work on Modern Family.
That was a good show. I watched it a few times. Like, I'm not a TV guy, but it's a good show.
It's very funny. Total segue. It's first question, so I'm gonna just take over right here. Do you remember the show My Name Is Earl?
Yes, loved it.
So we have. Once again, I apologize, but I wanted to tell this story. We have family show night when we have time, and so what we've been doing is watching like Modern Family. We've watched all that series. We've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We've watched all that series, and so now we started My Name Is Earl. And my son digs that show.
It's great.
Tonight's episode, when I went up to say goodnight to him, because they'll be in bed when we're done.
Yeah.
Our Cops is on. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Anyways, that was a fond memory. Back to Shaquille O'Neal or Ed O'Neal. I've always hated Shaq too. I think he could have been the greatest basketball player. He had the most wasted talent in basketball history, and he's still a Hall of Famer. If he would have taken care of his body and worked on his game, he would have been, without a doubt, the single most dominant player in basketball history. Ed O'Neal is my answer.
Ed O'Neal.
Wasted potential. And I think Ed O'Neal is milking every drop out of his talent
level. I would. Same thing. Sports related thing here. Gary Carter or Gary Roberts?
Oh God. Why are you picking two names? I don't like either of those guys. Gary Carter.
Two solid players.
I hated Gary Roberts' attitude because he was a flame and I hated the way he played. It's people like him as they change the rules in hockey. Cause in the playoffs, that Leafs team was gross. With him and Tucker and Domi.
Corson, I think, was there.
Yeah, Corson. Yeah. I was going to say Courtnell, but yeah, it was just clutch and grab.
Gritty,
but like they cheated. Playoff hockey. I'm glad that they changed the rules. And because the kid, even though he was fake as shit, he's a Hall of Famer. And he's on the 86 Mets. So I'll take Gary Carter on this one.
Gary Carter. Going through the list here.
You got two more names I don't like?
Well, I'm sure there's a whole bunch. Yeah, here it is. Okay. Peter Forsberg or Peter Rose? Goes by Pete Rose. Who is better?
Forsberg, Peter Forsberg, super stud. He's not a cheater. Rose, second most professional baseball hits in history.
Most.
Ichiro Suzuki is.
Well, yeah, you include the Japanese.
And shorter career, higher career average. Charlie Hudson blew up that guy. Was a total dick move at the Ray All-Star Fosse. Game. Yeah. So I think Pete Rose, he's a dick. He has the determination of a bulldog.
Was Forsberg underrated? Forsberg was really, 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 like, looking back, man, was he good.
He was as good at, like, and he played with Sakic, and like the fact that they coexisted so well and played towards each other's strengths. When he was healthy, he was a good player. Like, I'm not saying he was rough, he was physical. Like, when he decided to put his ass up against a guy in the boards and control the puck, there was nothing. The defender was useless.
He would
take one defender out of the game because along the boards, you could not get the puck off him. It was impossible without double teaming him.
He was such a good player.
He was a good player.
I would go Forsberg too. He was such a good player. We'll go a movie guy and a guy I know you don't have much respect for, but he's a Hall of Famer, multiple Super Bowls. Joe Pesci or Joe Montana?
You know what? I have utmost respect for Joe Montana. He was good. He milked every drop of. He was part of a revolutionary system of the way offensive football should be played. A lot more with no more of this 3 yards in a cloud of dust. The lateral routes, the yards after catch, and Bill Walsh. He's a reason football is the way it is today, and Joe Montana was a big part of that. Joe Pesci, I love the shit out of that guy. I really.
It's a tough question.
Pesci
in Goodfellas, Pesci in Lethal Weapon, Pesci in fucking Home Alone. Like, just those alone are classic movies. Oh yeah,
man. And then like he was in Raging Bull. Like he was he's a guy my cousin Vinny and that's the thing. Obviously, and he's typecast, but he's Joe fucking Pesci.
He grew up in the same neighborhood as Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, and they were all buddies back in the day. Pesci's right there, man. Like, Pesci and Montana, they're both Hall of Famers in their own right, but I'm going to go Pesci on this one, man.
Yeah, me personally, Jesus, I'm going to call this for the first time ever. I'm calling it a draw.
We have a draw.
Like, I respect both those guys and what they do.
We'll put that up on a poll tonight on the Twitter machine. Who is better, Joe Pesci or Joe Montana? We've never had a draw on the Who is Better segment of the 1420 podcast show. I got a couple more we'll go for. Let's stick with the 49ers. Jerry Rice or Jerry Seinfeld?
In a landslide. I thought Jerry Rice, once again, Hall of Fame talent, but he was the guy that was the recipient of this revolutionary new offensive system that Bill Walsh instituted.
Yeah.
And then went to the Niners, and Steve Young followed Joe Montana, and he was able to do it with Rice as well. Right. Like, Steve Young is a Hall of Famer. Like, these guys that have the talent, and same with Kurt Warner, no one landed with their ass in butter more than Kurt Warner in the Los Angeles Rams, because it was taking that San Francisco offense to a new level with even more passing routes and 3 yard routes. And like, you know, a 3 yard pass is as good as a 3 yard run. And so Kurt Warner, once again, I think he was a product of the system. And I don't like him. And I don't like Kurt Warner. God, I don't like Kurt Warner. When you look that much, when you marry your fucking female twin, like, you know, have you seen a picture of those two side by side?
Well, it's not what you want. It's a little different.
They're twins. Like, when you're wearing a flat top, your wife shouldn't be your twin.
I was sitting at the, I don't know where I saw this anyways, but I was trying to think of a different Lonnie, but all I can think of, do you remember Lonnie Bohannes played for the Leafs for a little bit?
No chance. No,
so okay. We'll figure out. Let's get a different
Lonnie. Well, Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson was the one I was thinking about. I was trying to find another Lonnie to who was better. Jennifer Marlowe from WKRP in Cincinnati. Okay. What was the other girl? Bailey Quarters. Who is better, Lonnie Anderson, yeah, Jennifer Marlowe, or Bailey Quarters?
Who's Jennifer Marlowe?
No, Lonnie Anderson's.
Yeah, we're still talking the two.
Yeah, Lonnie Anderson's character was Jennifer Marlowe. And yeah, then the other girl on WKRP,
Jennifer was
Bailey Quarters.
Bailey.
Yeah. Who is better?
Yeah. Well, it's too different, eh? Like, yeah. You know what? After the episode where they were at Jennifer's house, and I never really understood where Jennifer got her money from, even though it was.
Well, I think I have an idea, but I shouldn't talk about it, you know.
So I was more of a Bailey fan. Same in Facts of Life, Blair or Joe?
Joe was hot.
But Blair was the glamour queen, right? It's the same.
Yeah, I didn't care for Blair Warner, right?
Because she was stuck up, and so yeah, was Jennifer. Like, could you imagine being Jennifer's boyfriend?
Take your shoes off. Whatever. Clean that. Fuck off. Whatever. Green Bay or Green Day?
Go Green Day all the way.
Yeah.
All the way. I think I've even talked about it. There was a time when my wife and son were down in Montana and I couldn't. And then I put on a Green Day concert on the big screen, on the stereo, no headphones, on the stereo. Mm-hmm. And I had it so loud at like it was 10:30. I missed 3 phone calls. Like I didn't hear a fucking thing because I even had buddies calling me saying like, hey, I thought you were home alone.
What are we doing?
When that concert was over, I was rocking out. I had a party for one. That's kind of fun.
I do miss the live concert, not live, the tape concert or whatever. And the one man bender, he used to grab my guitar and I pretend I was Bruce Springsteen watching some concerts there. One more. Got to go through the list here.
Here, I'll give you a couple here.
Okay.
And this one's just totally NFL. If you can have either one of these quarterbacks for this year and this year only, just right now as they are, would you want David Carr from the Raiders or Kirk Cousins from the Vikings?
Carr.
You think so? Like that's, if you can have a 10-year career as a fucking quarterback, both those guys, B+.
$400 million in the bank.
This year, who would you want to quarterback your team? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Tom Brady. Really? I got zero time for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you don't like him at all.
No, fuck off. Yeah. Disrespect me. I want this. Be better. They disrespect me. They gave me $300 million. You're fine. And he looked like an asshat. Okay, here it is. On his post-game interview the other night, he looked like a fucking asshat.
He looked like he just came in off the
You got
street.
300 sheets in the bank, and that's how you look? That shit don't fly in my world, man. Go away. See, fuck off.
And I dig it. No, I you dig don't. It.
You would not let your boy dress like that or look like that.
If my boy has gotten to that level of proficiency in his business, and
I hope that you raised your boy well enough that he would not do that to you. That's disrespecting everything. He looked like an asshole. He looked like an asshole.
Well, see, I'm somewhat glad you don't have kids because it's obviously working for him. And who am I to say that you can't properly express yourself?
You look like, good, honestly, you feel like, good.
That's
you
how
play.
I feel about
you. Look
kid.
Good, like, you feel like, good, you play good. Well, look what happened to him on Sunday. He looked like shit. He played like shit. He is shit. Done.
And you're talking about a Super Bowl MVP. You're talking about
you're only as good MVP. As your last game, Dave. You're only as good as your last game. There's somebody out there that they paid good money to watch him play, and he came out and did that looking like that for the first time. Somebody was like, who the fuck is this guy?
You know you're wrong.
I'm not wrong, man. That guy is garbage. Be better.
What about Sanchez? Someone paid to see Sanchez that
he's
night.
Garbage too. Nobody pays to watch Gary Sanchez play baseball.
You know what? I bet you Gary Sanchez makes more salary in his career than Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Ooh, would be close. Career earnings at the end. Break that down for the time capsule.
Yeah. Not okay. A chance.
And we'll go to the young guys from Cincinnati. Would you rather have Joe Burrows or that Hebert from the Los Angeles Chargers?
Oh, just the ineptitude of the of Cincinnati.
They're both pretty pedestrian, right? Like Chargers on the whole is imagine the career arc is pretty.
I'm gonna go Hebert. Equal. I'll go Hebert. It's nicer in LA. New building, new.
That's a tough one because it's two franchises I don't like, but I really like those quarterbacks.
But you don't dislike the franchise because they both suck. Like nobody hates the Chargers. Fucking Chargers. No one says that.
Except yeah, you're right.
People, except for people in San Diego, maybe now. Because they aren't there anymore.
My buddy that's the Yankees fan.
Yeah.
Like his saving grace, he's a Bengals fan. And he hasn't deserted them.
How do you become a Bengals fan?
I have no idea.
We should put that question up on the Twitter account. How did you become a fan of your favorite team?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next show. Yeah.
Okay. Probably because they're winning. So, but then how does a kid from Southern Alberta like the Bengals?
Yeah.
I imagine they're
cool
helmets.
Jerseys, maybe? Or cool helmets?
Well, Jasper likes their helmets as well, but he knows they suck. So.
Yeah, they look cool.
So, yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Those are my quick little three there, the quarterbacks.
Last one. You're an old Duran Duran guy. You told me that a few months back on the 1420 podcast. Simone Gagné, two-time Olympic gold medal champion, Philadelphia Flyer.
Or Simon
LeBon. Who is better?
I think Simon LeBon, by a country mile.
Longer career.
Sorry, Simone, but way longer career, way more money. And you know, like how, you know, it'd be like the night, like Simon LeBon, when that band was at its peak in the back in the day.
Oh,
how a team would go to the bar after winning the Stanley Cup. That would be when you're one of the biggest pop bands in the world. That would be every night.
Well, like we talked about last week with Van every Halen. Night. Van Halen, yeah. And the Oilers, right? Every town you went to, you were the most popular person in that town, no matter what.
And not only that, like everybody is like, you just won the cup, happy to see you.
Yeah.
Like, we're here to party. Yeah, so Simon LeBon, because, you know, 84-ish,
they were probably one of the top three, four biggest bands in the world.
40 years ago? Oh, yeah, they were massive. They owned them too.
Years ago, eh? Jesus.
Well, no, not quite 40, but like
37. Yeah.
Yeah. Closer to 40 than 30. That's scary. Years ago.
Years. Not days, years. Anyway, we've got a little homework to do tonight, Dave. We're going to put the, because we had the first tie and then who was better. Joe Pesci, Joe Montana. We'll get that out on the Twitter machine. Everybody, hope you guys vote on that one. Jim will get this out to you, out to the masses tomorrow, I imagine. But Dave, fun show tonight.
Yeah, it's always good. Like this Tuesday show is what we've been apart for like 4 or 5 whole days. So it's we had a lot of catching up to do. And I'm looking forward to Thursday's episodes.
There we go. We'll come up with some more ridiculous stats and everything else. But the 1420 podcast, for Beer with the Sports Talk, and a whole lot more. Take care of each other, but more importantly, take care of yourself. Keep your stick on the ice. And what else, Dave?
I don't want to see Jim at swing at high pitches. Thanks for all you do for us, Jim. Hope Vancouver's doing well, buddy.
Well, take care, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday night.